Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." The death of Christ was the realization of the kingdom of God for the entire world. Before Calvary, men had been taught by preaching. After Calvary, they would be taught by his resurrection and his ascension. The principle of the universality became effective on Calvary. It was the death of Christ that broke down the wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles to reveal the universal mission of the Messiah. It took Golgotha to universalize the mission of Christ. The salvation of the Gentiles was the fruit of the sufferings and the death of our blessed Lord. What greater proof is there than this, that it was not until after his resurrection that the worldwide mandate was given? In Matthew, the 28th chapter, Jesus told his disciples, this was after his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It was then and only then that he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world." And then again, just before his ascension up into the heavens, Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Samaria was one of the places that he had earlier told his disciples not to go in any of those cities. But here, his mandate was to go into Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the world. It was now that the Gentiles were to come into their own. The coast of Tyre and Sidon that produced a woman of faith would receive a more tolerable judgment than Capernaum, which is a place that he had done most of his mighty miracles. What else did he say about those Jews who refused to hear his word and accept him as the Messiah? He said in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11 and 12, "That many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And again, in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." He also said that the men of Nineveh would rise up in the day of judgment against them because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And then he said, "A greater than Jonah is here." Yet they did not repent. Had our Lord been only a preacher or a teacher, the faith would never have been spread all over the world. From the moment of Calvary, the Gentiles belonged to Christ and not to the prince of this world. Another king had entered into his rightful possessions of the Gentiles. The principal distinctions between the Old and the New Testament in regard to scope, the Old Testament had been restricted almost exclusively to a single nation. But the blood of the new covenant shed on Calvary broke down that wall of partition between the Jews and the other nations. It was on the cross that Jesus made his mission worldwide, and the closer that the preachers live to their cross, the more quickly they will fulfill his mission to all nations. If these five-minute lessons have been a blessing to you, send me an email and tell me at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you.